What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Off the Record. I'm your host, Imogen Marshall, and as always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All the details are on our website at www.offtherecorduk.com. Now, before we welcome this week's guest, we have the news.
So, in very sad news, we learned today that Busby, who was obviously the producer of Maren Morris's records, Carly Pearce's records, he's done work with Keith Urban, he's wrote The Fighter, he's done so much. Look up his credits are just outrageous. Sadly, he passed away, and it's absolutely heartbreaking video of Carly Pearce, but a beautiful tribute on her Instagram page. Definitely go and check that one out. Yeah, he was an incredible talent and obviously lost very, very sadly and very soon. So thoughts and prayers with all his friends and family at this time. In other news this week, we had the pleasure of seeing Ingrid Undress this side of the pond for her Ladylike tour. She was an amazing talent. I'm so excited for the rest of her album. There's some, she obviously only has four songs out, so majority of the songs she played are new ones. And I was absolutely blown away. I'm such a fan of Ingrid Undress's, and I can't wait to hear the rest of the record. So yeah. And then another news this week, we had quite a few releases. Carly Pearce led the way with her I Hope You're Happy Now, which was obviously released as a duet with Lewis Bryce, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I'm really excited for her new music that will be coming shortly. Yeah, I hope this takes her in a really exciting new direction. Obviously, Lauren Elena also released her song, Getting Good. That's an absolute tune. I am such a fan of Lauren Elena's. This is probably isn't her strongest track, but it's definitely exciting to see her releasing new music. John Pardee released his Heartache Medication album, which is definitely, it's a return to old school country, and I absolutely loved it. And Tennille Arts, who will hopefully be having on the podcast soon ahead of her UK tour, as part of Country Music Week, released her song Somebody Like That, and it's definitely one to get familiarized with. She is going to be a really exciting one to watch at Country Music Week, so definitely go and check that one out. That's been the news for this week. Now, I'm so excited to welcome to the podcast the lovely Wildwood Kin, who will be releasing their new album this Friday. Absolutely love talking to these girls at the Rosewood in London. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please welcome Wildwood Kin.
Busy times at the minute. October the 4th is coming quickly.
It's suddenly just crept up. Really, hasn't it?
But for you guys, it's probably like one of those things where you're like, you're sat on the album for so long, and you're like,
it does feel like,
can we just get it out now? Like, it's ready to be released. Yeah. Can we just put it out there now?
Like, April, May.
The song that came out last week, we wrote it two Junes ago, or was it last June? So it's been like over a year since we wrote it.
Isn't that weird when also you've been sat on a song for so many years and people keep asking you that, so what's the inspiration behind that one? You're like, well, that was 2 years ago, like, let's put on that mindset.
Yeah, literally.
But yeah, so Time's Come is the latest single that's come out.
That's the last one.
Again, what was the story kind of behind that one, if you can cast your mind back like that many years ago?
So we went to Nashville and we did a co-write with a guy called Andrew Simpleton.
He had two second names, basically.
That's why we're going to learn.
That's also such a southern thing, isn't it? Two first names, two second names.
And so we just started having a jam. He had like a vibe of a song. We were in Nashville. We were like, get the acoustic guitars out, your job is Uki. And then, we just sat and decided what we wanted to write about. We started just throwing out ideas, like standing up for, what's right. Like singing about good things to come.
That's one of the things that I love about your music, is that you don't just write about like, this and that. It's like, actually you have and that's quite refreshing to be able to be like, I'm looking down like what's your story behind your songs, and it's like, it's not just that, it's kind of like empowerment and all these Like, The Crown, obviously, is one of the songs on the album. Yeah. And that's, like... I'm like, has anyone ever written a song about that? Which is quite nice to actually have a song which you're like...
It's funny because, we feel really cringe writing, like, love songs, don't we? I don't know why, we just like, don't
collectively, the three of us as well. I think if one of us, like, started a love song, it would be quite personal, but because, like, all three of us were part of the writing, it almost feels weird to, like, let someone else
single somebody out.
Kind of,
and also because I guess you're about more than that, which is also quite nice because like I mean this one obviously is all about empowerment and something and like there's nothing more empowering than like three girls like standing up and singing that about like with
we really hope that like resonates with people. And actually we've had loads of comments already from people saying like, oh, this is like such a good song for like for now. It's like there's a lot of things going on in the world. It's like
it might have been written 2 years ago, but it's like you knew back in the day. It's like 2 years down the line, all those things will come to fruition.
Totally. There's just so much going on now that's like, you know, people really do have to choose like what they're standing for, who they're standing for. You're right, that's not often sung about, I guess, or
it's amazing because it's talked about, but like
it's talked about, but
it should be almost infused into everything because it's not like it's not lines of like, right, we can talk about this in this medium and not in this. It should be like talked
just
about
across the board.
And obviously you guys are a family band. Do you feel like that helps you kind of like be able to almost more organically tell your stories?
I think so, because
you must have been writing together for years and years and years now.
I think, definitely. I think being family helps. I mean, there's a lot of things that are unsaid that we're just all on the same page in like a weird way.
We're just very in sync, I think, and sort of have the same
values and
that must have helped a bit. Like, you're not fighting about, I don't agree with that. Another thing, like, I guess I kind of picked this up when actually at your showcase, which I think was the first time I've ever seen you guys write,
and I
was
like, I didn't know you were
floored by it. It was amazing.
What
really struck me is the fact that like you guys are also equal on the stage. It's not like a, you know, in like lots of bands it's like, right, I'm going to take the limelight. And
it's such an
equality of women saying it. It was really cool
to see. Up on that. That's what we all worry. Some people are like, oh, who's the lead singer? And we're like...
But it's funny that we even have like asked that because it doesn't need to be a question. It's like with your harmonies and everything working together. It makes you different, maybe?
And I guess it kind of speaks of like our general value and like, vision, really, for like, you know, we want all of our shows, like the whole artist audience divide is something that we find really difficult, and we hope that every show everybody does feel equal and equally part of it.
That must get harder when you're now doing the bigger shows, because obviously like it's slightly easier when you're doing more like intimate thing and you can kind of like have that rapport. We can still have a rapport with the audience, but it's kind of like you at the back, 1,000 people to you, like you're with us too.
Exactly.
It's slightly more different.
Always just feel, I mean, we find it difficult to put on a persona where we're like, oh, we're the artist and you're just here listening. Like, we're not like that at all. It's like,
such an important,
we always just want to get on like the same level of people, and we feel more comfortable doing it that way. And even if we try, like, I don't think we could create a sort of persona where
slick
so I guess that being family as well probably just being more grounded, because it's like, I've known you since like you were this big and you're in the paddling pool, so you're never going to be able to be like a rock star on stage, so I'm just going to remind you
we sort of laugh at each other, I think, if we saw each other being all like weird and not like naturally ourselves.
Did this album feel very different in terms of, because obviously like the first album I feel like for a lot of artists, it's kind of like get signed and then there's a rush to get out and like keep that buzz going. Absolutely. And you're like kind of put under pressure to like, not put under pressure, but kind of put under pressure to release something.
Yeah.
And then
we so
something
young.
A bit more romantic.
Yeah, I think we wanted to create something that was way more authentic musically and lyrically as well. I think, but like, we were really grateful for the experience we had with the first album, and that obviously was our first album experience.
And you have to like go through the like,
exactly.
Right, this is how like press works.
Exactly.
And this is how this works.
And so we definitely feel like this album represents who we are more than the last one. And that's why we wanted to self-title it, because we were like,
this is
so we can really think of, we were going through all of the, you know, all of the names of the songs, and we just felt like, can't we just self-title it? It's just like, it just feels right for now, sort of thing. And I mean, we did at the time, obviously the first album, you know, we were happy with it.
And obviously you have to have a first album, and it's
of
like,
course.
And you're that bit younger as well, like,
yeah. And you're putting like feelings out almost, and like,
working
out
really
where you stand, and like, you don't, it was weird putting it out, and then being told, oh, you're supposed to be folk, and we were like,
but you're not really,
really,
you're sort of like a bit rocky,
weird.
And then you're a bit
and so,
and you're also just a bit wild with Ken,
and that's why this time we're like, we don't want to have boxes, and we don't want to be pigeonholed, and we just want to be, this is just where we can now, like,
but that's one of the things again that really strikes me with your music, and again I think it was the showcase where I was just like, all these things, and is how much you like lead, just the music is the important thing,
that's
the musical thing that you have, rather than like, right, this album is going to be about this, and we're going to have this image, and it's going to be like, you know, it's so much more authentic. So I guess then that answers my question about this album just being like your true, like, authentic.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely a lot closer. Obviously, there's still always going to be things like, I think with any creative, anything, you always think, oh, I wish we could have kind of changed this slightly or gone back and, you know, made this a bit more this. But that's just
being
part
an
of
artist,
it.
Isn't it?
And this one, like, you did a lot of co-writes on, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you think that helped kind of like?
Yeah,
because it must be weird. You've written together for so many years, and you're bringing other
it
people into mix.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
it was weird.
Hard,
like, we're not
gonna
lie, we struggled with it a lot at
first,
and felt like, is this kind of gonna dilute the kind of
the
meaning,
yeah.
or, you know, the personal element of our songs, and so the first few were a bit like, oh, we're not sure, you know, how we feel about this, but then we kind of realised that. Like, the best co-writes we had were the ones where we just sat down and had like a conversation for ages with who we were working with, and got to know each other, and got to know each other's like vibe, and then when you do it like that, it kind of feels like it's bringing richness to the experience instead of a lack. Like, we were worried that stuff was going to be taken away, whereas actually it brought a depth.
I always kind of compare it to dating, because it's like you have to like go to so many people.
It
is. You have no idea. Like, you could have the biggest superstar in the world, and you might just get in the, you could have the Ed Sheeran walk in and be like, well, actually, we don't work together because we don't have the same like heart and values, and it doesn't quite vibe.
It is. You have to have that connection and that chemistry. That's like, and it's different with like with some people, there's almost like a long-term chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, there are people that we worked with a few times.
It's literally like dating.
But sometimes it is, and you have this one moment captured in time with this person, and then you try and remake it, and it doesn't quite work. You just have to kind of love it for what it was and just have that one thing.
God, the analogy.
So it's so weird.
It just keeps on going.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go away and think about that for the rest of the world. Like, literally, like, matching it up. Summer loving and all the rest of it.
Exactly. That is so true. Our publishers were, like, really good, though. Everybody that we went and wrote with were lovely people. Obviously, there were songs that didn't work, we didn't use. But we still took it as just an experience and a learning curve.
And
like,
actually, the more songs you write, still the better.
Exactly.
The more
and
you
it
have,
does,
the more you
it does really, like... Yeah, it really teaches you about the skill of writing, and actually just having a different perspective or someone that writes differently, like, that's okay, because then we learnt a lot from that, even if we didn't end up using the song. It's but the ones that we did use were people that really were just really good at facilitating a space for us to just be creative and just try things. and that was like,
it's not about really bringing their like stamp in, it's
exactly
like, you all like bring your best needs rather than like,
and they were the ones that, you know, let us set up our instruments, how we perform live, and then
is that how you record, like write best, I guess,
I think
you
so
well, that
was
what we learned from it. We didn't realise before, but we kind of did, but that learned after that, we realised that was our way of feeling happy and comfortable and right, when we just set up as Wild and Kid. I mean, it sounds like such an obvious
no, but
thing,
it's but weird because most people do just sit down with like the person and a guitar, whereas for you guys, like all the instruments are so much more important because they are really young band. So actually, it would be kind of weird to write a song and then be like, right, so let's just add some drums in at the top. That's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, some we did do that way, but it was thinking about all the different ones that we did.
There was always something.
Yeah, definitely.
That we loved.
And we did feel like lyrically we really made it our own, and even once that we started with in the co-write session, we take away and we like add another verse ourselves, or we just really like focused on okay, what are we trying to say in song, and made sure that was all kind of knit together properly, so there was space for that anyway. It wasn't like whatever's done in the co-write has to be kept, so there was a freedom in that anyway, which was nice.
Well, there's some you did write just with you guys, because I know obviously Never Alone is such a like incredibly personal song, but there must be something it was like harder to write.
There's a couple that we wrote just on our own that are on the album, well, Never Alone, that was just like Meg was saying, that was a case of, you know, all of us sitting in a room with Ed, who we wrote the song with, had a chat with him for hours, didn't we?
We spent most of the day talking, and he had gone through a lot of mental health struggles as well, and like I think in that it was weird, we literally wrote a song about the conversations that we'd had and that we'd written about like how healing and how important it is to, you know, open up and have someone say, I've been there too, and you know, that solidarity that you feel in that. Like, and that was almost what the song became because of the conversation. I don't, it's weird because it
always, you needed to have that conversation for such a long time before it means
totally. So it was, I don't know if that song would have existed in the same way, and almost it made it more personal than we'd had that conversation with Ed. That was almost the catalyst.
Almost you needed it, because otherwise you're just talking about like things.
Yeah.
Whereas if you bring it home and talk about the personal, the actual intimate stuff, then it becomes more an actual song. And people do read the authenticity of
And because Ed is such a kind of heart on sleeve, no BS person.
Yeah.
I don't want to swear.
You can say whatever you want. I don't like. Just do a little beef over the
Like, I think that really was like quite a catalyst moment of like, you know, his honesty brought out our honesty, and together we were able to come up with something that was really genuine for both of us. It didn't feel like he was kind of helping us necessarily to write out. It was like a collective.
Well, we knew what we were writing about. Yeah. We knew what the theme was, and it was just easy to just like, I mean, we had all of our instruments set up. You on the drum kit. I had a little riff that I'd had for years.
Was that the video that you used?
That was when we were in the studio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's when we were actually in.
Okay.
Yeah. That was, yeah.
We were, it's confusing.
I just love the, like, I just can't believe you were just dropping that. Every time I was like,
what can we use? It's like strong. And like, there was a rubbish tambourine, it just wasn't doing it. And I was just like, let's just drop the box. And I picked it up and he was like, that
was so good. But it was funny that ended up being like a big part of the video. And everyone was like, what is this?
I just ran out of shots. So I was like, I'm just going to keep
going. It was so funny. But yeah, we needed like on the choruses, because it's quite big, and like we kind of wanted that Simon and Garfunkel boxing.
Oh, it's like,
we wanted that thing, and then the only thing that kind of made that sound was the whole entire box.
It's not funny that like you have all the instruments in the world, and then it's
literally
a box that becomes centered.
Well, it was still musical in that there were just loads of percussion instruments inside the box.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was the fact that it had to be in the box for it to work. Like, yeah. We were like, we can't use like individual shakers and stuff. We had to have it all shoved in.
But that one was a really fun recording experience, wasn't it? Because Ed is so out there as well.
Yeah.
He helped us produce that one, and it was all very like, yeah, let's do this, and like always like wanting to bring in all
the and that's what you need, someone who's like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like the funnest experience ever, and not make it like work, and not make it we've got to go in the studio and record this, makes it work
this time frame, for sure.
I'm just gonna do my who's most likely question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Just because. So, who's most likely to fall over on stage?
Maggie.
I love that there's an ignoring question.
Yeah.
To be late to rehearsal. You're like getting all of
them. Maggie's got a low stature.
I'm like, are you just gonna get all of these to forget their part on stage?
The what?
To forget their part on stage.
I think we've all had moments.
I think it would be between me and you, probably.
Probably, yeah.
I think there's been some moments that we've all had those moments.
Because they, even if you know the song well, there's always moments where you just have a mind blank and you're like,
yeah.
But yeah. I'd say that was an even.
Yeah.
I think we're even.
Yeah, let's go for even.
And to say something they shouldn't in the interview.
The problem is, I'm probably the most disorganised, scattered, late.
You'll just say something and be like,
erratic member.
Oh, yeah, it's like when you said we were influenced by Queen.
Oh, my God. One time in an interview, like, they were asking us who our influences were, and I just had a total, like, brain fart.
I was going to say, Queen is not Queen.
I mean, everyone's awesome, but, like...
And also, everyone's a little bit influenced by Queen.
Back in the day, it came out in all of these interviews that were influenced by Queen, and I was just like, oh my god, what have I done?
It's amazing how like one slip and it's like, oh, right.
It was awful. That was a bad one.
Yeah.
But I think we're all a bit socially awkward.
I think
we're all a bit socially awkward.
Okay, I'll just quickly do my last two questions at the end. Okay, so can you describe each other in one word?
Solid.
Solid?
He said slow Loris. And I said solid.
I'm taking slow Loris.
Yeah, okay. Slow Loris. That's very peaceful, very consistent, very calculated.
Yeah, but she's slow Loris now. I'm not going to include any of that in the rest of it.
Slow Loris, great. Done. Yeah. No, but it's lost a bit too negative.
It's more poetic.
Yeah.
Wild.
Your song writes after.
Wild.
Free spirit. Just say wild.
What would you say?
I'd say wild.
Okay.
I was going to say, this is the moment of truth, suddenly. It's like, what have you done today?
Okay, no, let's go for
enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Wild is probably a one word. All encompassing.
Yeah. I'm always sort of a bit sporadic, let's just try everything all the time. Like if something, I grew up with two brothers, and like every time I was dared to do anything as a kid, I'd be like, yes, I'm doing. Like so, always like I'll be like, yeah, try it, and I think probably that has resulted in a wild life. But Emily. Calm,
nurturing,
compassionate.
You know, all the nice ones.
I just get slow Loris.
Slow Loris, wild.
Slow Loris, calm, and nurturing. I'm like, what's my thing?
You're almost like the mothership whilst I was a kid. Like, just like nurturing and making sure that we're okay and not doing anything stupid.
I don't know what words.
You can just do the mothership.
The mothership.
And then finally, I always do is complete the sentence. So, music is
healing. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. I was going to say the same thing.
I love that. And wildwood kin are.
Or wild. pleasantly awkward.
Yeah, we're going to have to be pleasantly awkward.
I love that. Yeah. Well, thank you, guys.
So thank you so much to Wild Woodkin for that. And that will do for episode 87 of Off The Record. Make sure to tune in next week where we've got the lovely Emily Hackett on the podcast to talk all about her UK tour and what's coming up next. Have a great week. Bye, y'all.